patriotically at the U.S. Capitol. The Trump campaign argues there was no insurrection. Mr. Trump says attempts to strike his name from the ballot were purely political. This has been an SRN News special report, a victory for Donald Trump at the Supreme Court. I'm Rich Thomas.
Conservative Theological University has provided biblical theological education for God's pastors, evangelists, missionaries, and Christian educators since 1982. CTU would be delighted to assist you in your Bible studies. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Leave your contact info today at 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today that recently surfaced when a Loose Likes Lost liberal reporter from Politico had the audacity to challenge the source of our rights in America. The audacity of that reporter said that Christian nationalists believed that our rights came from God. She was challenging that by saying that the rights that we have comes from government, from the legislators, from the Supreme Court, etc. That's not what the Declaration of Independence says. That's what not what our founding fathers said. That's not what the Bible says. Every right that we have, ladies and gentlemen, given to us by Holy God, codified in our Declaration of Independence, further in our Bill of Rights that we have today. So I challenge anybody that says that a Christian ought not to take a stand and have input as salt and light in the governmental system, in the political system as it is called today. I believe we have Marshall on the line. Marshall, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Well, good morning or afternoon now, Pastor. Thank you for taking my call. This is, as you know, a subject near and dear to my heart.
Amen.
I'd like to make just a couple of comments, if you'll permit me to. First of all, the gender of that reporter is very significant. We're now a fully feminized culture, dominated by the witch spirit, and I think it's very much evident in the Democrat Party and people like Letitia James, and I call her Fannie Willis, and those others that have been persecuting the president, who incidentally apparently just got a pretty good victory in the Supreme Court. But irrespective of how things appear to people, the reality is the die has been cast. I do not, as a Christian, but also as a former military officer, I believe circumstances, both the Bible and secular history, tell us that we're not going to go back to the way things were. We want to stand up and make it happen if we can, to act
yes.
as if it can. It can happen. But the reality is the die has been cast. So we need to understand that Christians, as they probably have been for the last 15 years, true Christians are in the minority in this country. Mm-hmm. It does not mean that Christianity has passed away or we're necessarily post-Christian, but it does mean that we're going to have to fight an awful lot harder to get our point across. And the only way we fight is through the power of the Holy Spirit. That means we must preach the gospel in season and out of season, not argue with these people who are the Bible calls them fools.
The fool
said in his heart there is no God, and these people are, regardless of what they may say, you know, they might be some other liberal Protestant thing or whatever, but they're not believers. They don't know the first thing about the Bible, and they wouldn't be Democrats, first of all, because they wouldn't be supporting abortion and LGBT and all the other things. In fact, I've said publicly that you can't be an intentional Democrat and be a Christian. But I just want to make the point that the battle lines are drawn. Christians absolutely don't need to be arguing with anybody. We simply state the truth, because all authority comes from the Shema of Israel, the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy, verses, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Everything in this world comes from that commandment. If God is first, if we love him wholeheartedly and without reservation, and we seek to keep his commands, then all authority in the world comes from that. But particularly the authority of the American government, because this nation provably, just by, as you said, the Constitution, but walk around Washington and see the impact of the Judeo-Christian ethic on our monuments and on the inscriptions on those monuments. We were a nation founded with a purpose, and I flew in the Arab-Israeli War in 73, and I saw God deliver Israel from the hands of the enemy, from the cockpit of an Air Force jet. This is a nation that was destined to help return Israel to the promised land in 1948. I was born in that year, and the most unlikely president in American history, Harry Truman, was the one who said, well, in the face of General Marshall and Eleanor Roosevelt, who was really the president at the time, and others, I'm not going to do what you say. I'm going to recognize Israel. I don't care if we lose the oil from the Middle East. And so he did, but by God's design, he was there. And that's why Roosevelt died early in 45, Truman was there to drop the bomb, but also to recognize Israel in May of 1948. We are at war. There is no longer any more dialogue with fools. We simply preach the gospel in season and out of season. All authority flows from Almighty God. There is no exception to that. And those who don't understand the primacy of the Shem of Israel, I may be pronouncing that wrong, but Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. And that's Jesus correct. Himself, when asked the most important commandment, said what? He pointed right back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and said, do this. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. All right, end of my diatribe. I appreciate the opportunity to speak it. Our nation is one nation under God. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Apart from that, there is none.
None. Marshall, hang on for just a moment. Let me read an article and ask you a question. Looking at the headline, it says, Texas pastor openly calls on Christian nationalists to impose their values on our society. The megachurch pastor, Robert Jeffers, said that Christian nationalists have a right to impose our values on everyone else, end quote. During an interview with Real America Voice, he said, Jeffers addressed recent concerns about the rising nationalist movement among Christians. Quote, this is what Jeffers says, what your take on it? We always put our love for God above everything else, our even allegiance to our country, he explained. But that's not what they're really talking about. Listen carefully. They say that they are opposed to people who say America was founded as a Christian nation. Americans who believe not only in the spiritual heritage of our nation, but believe that we ought to use elections to help return our country to its Christian foundation, end quote. Quote, if that's Christian nationalism, Dr. Robert Jeffers says, count me in, because that's what we do. And and he says, so what's hypocritical about it is this: the left does not mind at all imposing their values on our country through the election process. They don't mind forcing their pro-abortion, pro-transgender, pro-LGBTQ, pro-open borders policy upon our nation. Jeffers added, but they object when Christian conservatives try to impose their values on our society at large. It's complete hypocrisy, he said. What do you say about what Dr. Jeffers says?
Agree 100%, but you know that, and you don't argue with fools, and he's not arguing with fools. He's saying what is right. Listen, it's obvious. Why does the American Republican experiment exist? What rights do we have? We have the right to express our opinion by the ballot when it's not taken away by the Democrats, which they did in the previous election. But right. We have the right to advocate for what we want. And then our representatives, we elect those representatives, we hope, who align with those values. And if they do, they go to Congress. Congress makes the laws, and then they're implemented. And that's the way it works. And I don't care if the liberals don't like it, because the cultural Marxists in the 30s who invaded this country and set up shop in Columbia University and all the major other institutions of this country have succeeded over the years because Christians have been asleep to bring that's upon right. us this hell that's here. This is nonsense. Can you give me two more minutes?
Yes, go ahead.
All right. You and I are sons of Georgia, okay?
That's
we're
right.
sons of Georgia. Yeah, Macon, Georgia, is our home town, family hometown, and that name is in our family name because we have relatives that were founders of that great central Georgia city. I believe that Georgia is a metaphor for America. We have so many spineless men like this Dr. Dyers, I believe, a First Baptist of Augusta. Who made his nonsensical statements. Georgia was the location of the first great awakening in America in 1735, right on St. Simon's Island at Fort Frederica. That's where it started. Oglethorpe brought the Wesley brothers and John Whitfield over. And from that, in 1935, over the next 25 years, became the genesis for the great spiritual awakening of America. But yet in the last election, Georgia was a linchpin in this nightmare that we had in 2020, a nightmare. Why is it that a nation, a state that has probably more Baptist and traditional Southern Methodist in it than any other state in the country, is filled with panty-waist males who cannot stand up and say, "Thus saith the Lord, I agree with that. Don't cross this line, or you're going to be opposed legally to the extent that I can." We in Georgia, the men in Georgia, headed by that wimpy Governor Brian Kemp, are examples of what's happened in America. Men have surrendered. They have surrendered their right to stand up and put their finger on the end of somebody's nose and say, "Don't take another step over that, or we're going to have an issue."
That's
we
right.
don't do that anymore. We are feminized, and because we've stepped back, we have allowed the witch spirit to come in and dominate this country. And I believe the condition of Georgia, men in Georgia, is an example for all of the country of what's wrong with us. So I can say that because I'm a son of Georgia, but I'm tired of these pastors up there. And I can give you Andy Stanley's an example. And he
yes.
got Raphael Warnock on the black side there at Ebenezer Baptist in Atlanta.
That's right.
And others. We must understand that in this nation, it is all about God and God alone. And if we don't understand that, then we get what we deserve. And Pastor, you know, I think we're getting what we deserve. It's heading
our
face.
That's right. We've asked for it. We're reaping the harvest. Well, Marshall, one other little footnote, and I'm thankful
yes,
for our Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Mike Johnson, I believe, is the lightning rod that has caused all of this hoopla now to resurface itself in relationship to Christian nationalism and the left seeing that Trump is sweeping the board with the primary election. But this article reads, someone asked me today, this is Mike Johnson, asked me today in the media, they said, "It's curious, people are curious, what does Mike Johnson think about an issue under the sun?" Johnson told Hannity of the intense media scrutiny he's been seeing since taking office, his role in office. Quote, I said, "Well, pick up a Bible, take it off the shelf, read it. That's my worldview," end quote. That's what I believe. And so I make no apologies for it. I believe Christians today, Marshall, need to take that same, if you want to call it that, brazen stand. But saying, this is where I stand. This is what I believe. I make no apologies for it. I believe that needs to come out of pulpits. I believe it needs to come out of Sunday school classrooms. I believe every Christian ought to be a Christian nationalist, where we're willing to stand for truth, speak the truth, and be salt and light.
And I've heard you say this, and you have heard me say this. The biggest reason we have the problems in this country is men who profess to be Christians do not know the Word of God because they've never read it through cover to cover. I made some ads on a TV, a radio station years ago challenging men to read the Word of God through cover to cover in a reasonable amount of time, 3 months, 4 months, and then to stay in it and to understand what it says. Because apart from the Word of God, you don't know anything. All wisdom begins with God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Marshall, thank you so much for your input. You're spot on. Thankful for you. Thankful for your stand. Keep praying. Keep looking up. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. We're talking about today Christian nationalism. Are you a Christian nationalist? What does a Christian nationalist believe? How does he stand? What does he do? I'm looking at a headline. Christian nationalist wanting to put God into the U.S. government. This is an article being written against Christian nationalism. So what is Christian nationalism? Why is it flourishing now? This article goes further. God and country is one of the oldest and most influential currents in U.S. politics. It ebbs and flows throughout American history. It's in high tide now because conservative Christians feel they're on the losing end of the demographics and cultural change. That's been amplified by a backlash against what they saw as government overreach during the COVID pandemic. Quote, "We desire to live in a Judeo-Christian nation with Judeo-Christian values," says Ken Peters, a so-called pastor patriot who preaches that God belongs in government. But this fight against changing morals and moral values is being framed as a battle against evil, which diminishes the political opponents, says Robert Jones, president of the Public Religious Research Institute. With no room for compromise, he believes it poses a fundamental threat to our democracy, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a number of preachers today, pastors, religious leaders, spiritual leaders, that's as our last caller, Marshall, just said, they're pantyways, they're feminized, they have no backbone to stand in the face of the enemy and say, this is biblical, this is right, this is where I stand. I find it egregious when you have those that are taking a stand in that fashion and somehow, some way, believing that you ought not to take a stand for truth. Again, I go back to this article, looking at the headlines on an article. It says, Christian nationalism, this is a marquee sign out in front of a Presbyterian church. It says, Christian nationalism is an oxymoron, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, Christian nationalism ought to be that which we stand for, believing the Word of God, standing for the Word of God, standing for our nation, standing for our city, standing for our country, standing for that which is right in every venue and every forum. The real reason for the Marxist media and the Communist Democratic Party trying to demean believers is because of the conservative Christian national support for President Donald J. Trump. They are petrified. They see the handwriting on the wall. They see that sleepy Joe Biden in his cognitive decline is an impossibility to win the election. By the way, just as a little parenthetical footnote, I still say that Joe Biden's name will not be on the ballot in November. I believe they're setting the stage now for Kamala Harris, for Michelle Obama, or for Hillary Clinton, or for Gavin Newsom. One of those four will be the presidential candidate from the Marxist Democratic side of the aisle. I believe that's where we're headed. But the whole point now is the demeaning of Christian nationalists, Christian nationalism. That is Christians that stand for God and country, for Christians that stand for the Word of God and stand for our Declaration of Independence, stand for our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. I believe that's what they're doing. Christian nationalism threatens the democracy, as some of them say. What does it mean, threatens the democracy? We are living, ladies and gentlemen, in a declining constitutional republic with a representative form of government, but we have not, we're not formed as a democracy. But yet there's the mindset that our democracy is being undermined because of Christian nationalism. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the furthest thing from the truth. But yet we have those that are teaching that, those that are speaking that, those that are regurgitating that from our pulpits today. I'm looking at a headline. Christianity illegal? Question mark. Long-running government campaign to stir hate, reaching its end goal. This is very similar to what Marshall just said a moment ago. This article reads this way. A government hate campaign against Christianity that it first documented, this article first documented 16 years ago, when Canada's discriminatory speech limit first started affecting Christian ministries there. It's reaching an end game now. Now, this is talking about Canada. It's not talking about America, but the same thing's happening in America. It's a plan to criminalize Christianity with Bible reading and prayer considered hate speech, a crime punishable by prison. The report explained in blunt terms, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, World Economic Forum controlled government, is planning to outlaw Christianity with the introduction of an amendment to the criminal code that would see believers face jail time for expressing their historic Christian teachings, end quote. That's where we're headed in America today. That's what the socialist Marxist liberals would like to see take place today, is so that what you say, what I say from the pulpits and from our speech as Christians, now being demeaned and called Christian nationalists, somehow, some way, that's fomenting. And the underpinning of that fomenting is to destroy the Christian voice, and it's to destroy the Trump era in his campaign. That's the whole goal. That's the end goal. I believe we have Lisa on the line. Lisa, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, I was just going to say that I completely agree with everything you have said and the previous caller. And when we stand on the word of God, he will do our fighting. We just have to stand.
Amen.
And in order to stand, we have to know the Bible. I am honored to be a Christian nationalist. And
amen.
I am, whenever anybody comes at me, I'm like, well, you ain't fighting me. You're fighting my God.
That's right.
You're
going to
lose.
And Lisa, the key to it is, just like with in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah the 4th chapter and the 20th verse, Nehemiah was encouraging his people as they were building the wall not to be fearful of the conspiracy to overthrow the work. And he says in chapter 4, verse 20, our God shall fight for us. As Christians, and you just touched on it, as Christians, we need to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, realizing that the fight is not ours, the battle is not ours, it's God's, but he wants to use us as his instruments, as his tools, to do battle in the world today, because it's a battle between Satan and the Savior being fought out through human beings, being fought out through kingdoms against kingdoms, and the nation against nation, as we're finding today. It is sad to see.
We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the scripture says, wickedness in high places.
Yes.
And we're finding that today. And so as Christians, we need to not cower. We need to not crawl under the bed. We need not hide. We need not be silent. We need to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen in the last days while we yet have opportunity. Lisa, thank
indeed.
You so much for your call.
Dr. Youngblood.
Yes.
Don't count out Oprah Winfrey for the ballot for the Democrats. She is right up in there with all these elites, and she is a Hollywood figure. And I believe that the serpent is wise enough to know that they need a Hollywood figure to take this against over President Trump.
You know, you could very well be on target with that. I had not considered that. But, of course, you know, they've gone to her, and she said, no, she's not interested. But that's what Hillary Clinton still says. That's what Michelle Obama says. That's what Gavin Newsom says. So all of them are saying, no, I'm not interested. Yeah. So you just pick either one of those evil choices, and it will further destroy the constitutional republic that we enjoyed and have for 250 years. Lisa, thank you so much for your call. You're spot on. Thank you for your stand. And we need to all keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh, the scripture says. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Who are the Christian nationalists? Are you a Christian nationalist? Is that the stand that you take? Is that the stand that you would like others? We'll read a blurb from the Tony Perkins newsletter. He gives the introduction as I have given before, about our Declaration of Independence. And he says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are the life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. He goes on to say, these words appear as the preamble of our Declaration of Independence. The men who led our nation to independence understood that our rights emanate from God, not man, not government, not any other rights coming from there. It appears that if you fail history, you're an ideal candidate for the mainstream media. For example, Politico journalist comment on so-called Christian nationalism. The thing that unites them, she says, this is the Politico columnist, the thing that unites them as Christian nationalists, not Christians, by the way, because Christian nationalists are very different, she says, is that they believe that their rights as Americans, as all human beings, do not come from any earthly authority. They come from God. Now, that's the charge that's being leveled against Christians today by the socialist Marxist media and the Communist Network News and the Democratic Party. They're claiming that we are Christian nationalists because we have somehow, some way, bifurcated the truth, and that we believe that our rights come from God. Ladies and gentlemen, they do. Every right that you have, every right that I have, every right that has been codified in our Declaration of Independence and in our Bill of Rights, all are originated with God, because we had men of God, contrary to what the left is saying today with the modified history about our founding fathers. I believe our founding fathers were men of God, men of faith, and because they codified it in the Constitution, it didn't come from man, it didn't come from government. God gave them the words to use there. This article continues this way. If that is what counts as a Christian nationalist, then America's founders must have all been Christian nationalists. The comments by that reporter should be seen for what they are. A desperate attempt, this is the fact, a desperate attempt to frighten the MSNBC audience into opposing Christian engagement in the government and political process in America today. That's the whole point that I want to wrap up with. The entire point of calling us Christian nationalists and trying to demean us is to control the populace so that others will be fearful of taking a stand, of speaking the truth, of standing for the right and the leadership of the possibility of what Donald J. Trump can do in leading America. I don't believe that we need to search for a person that's perfect and without sin to be our president. I believe we need a president that has a spine, a backbone, to speak the truth, and I believe he has taken that stand, and I believe that is what God's intervention in 2016 was all about. And I pray, ladies and gentlemen, that as we vote, we'll keep that in mind. I'm looking at another headline. An imposter Christianity is threatening American democracy. This is another article. Another person calls it an imposter Christianity that's threatening our democracy. Ladies and gentlemen, it is true Christianity if we stand for God, if we stand for country, and if we do so with the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that you're a Christian nationalist. I pray that as a Christian conservative and a patriot, you'll stand for truth. Thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. Looking forward to meeting you once again as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them.